Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Acts chapter 11. Let me get in the light here. Feels so weird with the stage being all empty. Acts chapter 11. Now the apostles and the brethren who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised took issue with him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began speaking and proceeded to explain to them in orderly sequence, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain object coming down like a great sheet lowered by four corners from the sky, and it came right down to me. And when I had fixed my gaze upon it and was observing it, I saw the four-footed animals of the earth and the wild beasts and the crawling creatures and the birds of the air. And I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Arise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing unholy or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a voice from heaven answered a second time, 'What God has cleansed, no longer considered unholy.' And this happened three times, and everything was drawn back up into the sky. And behold, at that moment, three men appeared before the house in which we were staying, having been sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them without misgivings, and these six brethren also went with me, and we entered the man's house and reported us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here, and he shall speak words to you by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as he did upon us at the beginning. And I remember the word of the Lord, how he used to say, 'John baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If God therefore gave to them the same gift as he gave to us also after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" And when they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, "Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life." So then those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch, began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. And news about them reached the ears of the church of Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. And then, when he had come and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And he left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came about that for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Now at this time some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them, Agabus, stood up and begin to indicate by the Spirit that there would certainly be a great famine in all over the world, and this took place in the reign of Claudius. And the proportion that any of the disciples had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Judea, and this they did, sending in charge of Barnabas and Saul to the elders." Amen. So, chapter 11, 10, we heard about Peter. Peter kind of continues off. And then we see the church in Antioch was the beginning of the church. In the beginning of chapter 11, the apostles and the people, the Christians that were gathered in Judea, they heard that the Gentiles heard the good news. And you think, wow, these guys would be really excited. But we find out that the Jews, whenever in the book of Acts you read the circumcised, this in relation, this would mean the Jews that had become Christians. In our day and age, we would actually call these people Messianic Jews, if you ever heard that term before. And so these are Jews that, you know, are still culturally Jewish, you know, by tradition, everything, right? But they believe in the Messiah, right, in Jesus and Yeshua. And so these would be, you know, the Messianic Jews, and they heard that the gospel has now gone to the Greeks, you know, to the Gentiles. And they took issue with Peter, you know, and this, you know, this goes into kind of the bias, you know, that's still present in the early church, right? It's, you know, it's hard, and we face this a lot of times in our life, don't we? Because we're bicultural people, you know, and we come from different cultures that in some ways is really anti-Christianity. You know, I mean, there's some elements that are, could go both ways, but in the most part, a lot of our backgrounds and where we've come from are actually anti-Christ. And so, I don't know what your family background is, but my family background is Buddhist, and I shared before, I grew up, as a little kid, doing traditional Buddhist ceremonies, especially when it was the anniversary of our parents' death. Our grandparents' death, and we'd come and mom would make a huge feast, and we get the tea and we go around. I forget how many times, but I sit there, and you could imagine me. I was a real punk kid, and my parents trying to get me to bow in front of this thing. Traditionally, ceremonially, it was like one of the worst days of my life. We had to do this every year, actually twice a year. For each side of our grandparents. And so a lot of this is obviously, that's what the scriptures would call idolatry. And we grew up like this. There could also, be that you may not have grown up Buddhist or maybe it was Confucian, a different mindsets of growing up. Some of you guys were Muslims, in any case. But also, aside from other religions, we grew up very Western. And our ideals, which is kind of more humanistic, than biblical. We lift up, the human being so much, and we, the accolades and everything is kind of, life is looked at through the lens of humanism, or self-determinism, all different isms you can call it, which are very contrary, to the scriptures. Right, and this really goes along through many, many, many different aspects of our lives. Just wait, especially when you have kids, you realize how humanistic or how secular our belief system is, and it goes into the area of education, child rearing, child discipline. It's just so amazing how much of this secular mindset is in many ways infiltrated the church. And then you add in the more modern way of materialism, of intellectualism, and all these things, and we realize that our background that we bring into the church or bring into the gospel can sometimes hinder, us and hinder other people. And so we need to be aware. These guys, they couldn't put aside their culture, and it's not saying that all of it's bad, right? But parts of the culture that are contrary to scriptures, especially coming from a Korean culture, that sometimes is obviously very, very strong, especially, the male part of it. And you have to, and when you read the scriptures, it's so contrary to a lot of the culture that I grew up in, and so there has to be a shift that occurs. It has to be dying to those things. It's not saying you throw everything away, because there's a lot of good parts. Even in Confucianism, there's a lot of good parts that are actually probably derived biblically. Honor your mother and father, right? But don't take it to the umpteenth level, right, where it becomes idolatry and these kind of things, right? And you'll see a lot of the things that we see in the cults and religions are actually good things, good sound biblical things, but taken to extremes, and then it becomes quite harmful. And so these guys, the early Jewish Christians, they couldn't let go, of what they thought, was right, what they thought was coming out of their culture and their heritage and their lineage, and they took offense. They took an issue with people getting saved. The funny thing is, I've seen this happen before. I've seen Christians get mad at people who got saved. And it's like, that person shouldn't have gotten saved. That person didn't do anything. You ever hear about, deathbed confessions and salvations? And I know some Christians that actually get a little ticked off. What? This guy doesn't have to go to church. This is, it's too easy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Where's, what the heaven side, right? What heaven looks like. And he says the heaven rejoices, right, that one sinner repents, right? And yet we we're like these guys. If we get angry when people repent, if we get ticked off when people get saved, and because this didn't quite happen like we think it should have happened or whatnot, right? Then we run into what's really a residue from what was happening in Jesus' life is really a Pharisaical spirit, right? And that's what these guys are living under. And so Peter has to go through this whole ordeal, you know, by saying, hey, this thing happened, I saw a vision, right? And so it's not like he can just say, you know, just share, you know, just simply out of his heart. He needs to have the empirical evidence of spiritual phenomena. Right, he needs to show I had a vision, and then the Spirit spoke to me, and then the Spirit fell upon, you know, the people, and you know, and he's trying to convince these guys, you know, beyond their ability to believe, and so then they come around in verse 18. They heard this, they quieted. The word is they became silent. They just hushed up, you know. And sometimes the best thing for to do is just to do simply that. They quieted down. Glorify God, and then says, well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. Now, I want you to see something real quick here, right? And so they said, okay, all right, I guess, all right, God, you know, he's sovereign, he can do whatever he wants, I guess he's going to go to the Gentiles. But see, listen, it's not what you say that matters. It's what you do right after what you say. Okay, don't ever forget that, right? It's not what you say that matters. In other words, you know, you can come on Sunday, you could lift your hands, you could sing songs, all kinds of good things can happen. It's what happens when you leave the church, go to work on Monday, or go home to your husband or your wife or your kids, you know? It's not what you say, it's what you do that matters. Case in point, okay? Here's these guys say, wow, fantastic, great. And then Luke does a summary statement. It says, then those who were scattered, because the persecution, this is what we call the diaspora, right? There was a scattering that occurred. And, you know, like I shared with you, you know, last week, what happens sometimes is when the people of God are disobedient, right, God will scatter them. You know, when they're not doing what God has purposed for them to do, God will literally scatter them. And, you know, it may seem like a hardship or something, but there's something significant that God is working, because that's God's original plan, right? To get the word out everywhere, and they don't listen. And so God does it through circumstances. So they come out. And so these men go out. And in verse 19, it says, and they speaking the word to no one except the Jews alone. Okay, so here's a group of these guys in Jerusalem. They heard this, you know, they said, oh yeah, okay, I guess God is going to the Gentiles. See, it's not, it doesn't matter what you say. What matters is what you do. So these guys basically said, okay, yeah, cool, Gentiles. And then they go off to all these places and they only speak to the Jews, right? They didn't back up what they said. They just did it totally contrary. And so Luke contrasts this. I'll say this. Were they successful in their ministry? Not really. Because Luke contrasts in verse 20. But, okay, now we have a transition. But there were some of the men of Cyprus and Cyrene who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. So some of them went to different places, right? Some of the groups, obviously one, you know, group spoke to just Jews. Another group actually went to the Greeks, God's plan, right? This is plan A of the Lord. And then what happens? Verse 21, the hand of the Lord was with them, right? God was with them. See, when you say it, and then when you do it, God is with us. It's just so simple, right? A large number believed and turned to the Lord, right? Two different scenarios happening. One goes to the Jews only, not much fruit out of their ministry. A few of these guys decide that they're going to follow through with what happened in Jerusalem. You know, they minister to the Greeks, right? This is God's plan, and God begins to flourish and bless them. Something quite significant. You'll see this also later in Paul's life, right? Paul, you think, is an incredible intellectual, you know, very trained, educated, and he goes to intellectuals, and he has almost no fruit at all in all of his labors. And then he goes to the regular people, right? And God pours his spirit upon them. It's interesting, right? You know, and you know, that's why we got to recognize, we got to do it God's ways, right? We got to follow through with God's purposes. Next thing you know, they send Barnabas, right, out, because the news reaches them. You know, they send Barnabas, and he goes off to Antioch. And then when he had come and witnessed the grace, he rejoiced. You know, he was a man of God. All these wonderful things happened. You know, and then he went to Tarsus to look for Saul. You know, probably because, you know, I'd imagine that this was, you know, Barnabas recognized this was Saul's calling. And thus, you know, he kind of put these things together. When he found them, he brought them to Antioch, and then they spent an entire year. Notice this. It came about that for an entire year they met with the church, taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. This was the gathered, okay? Let me just throw something out there, okay, for us. Who should be called Christians? If you're new here and you say, I got saved and, you know, I'm a Christian, I don't know, right? I don't know. Sometimes we do make the Christian faith a bit too easy, you know, and not easy in the sense that, you know, we have to work hard or anything like this, but it becomes a cheap, easy believism, you know. Believing, right, is not saying a creed. It's not understanding and, you know, just agreeing to some creed, right? Believing is actually doing it. This is what separates, right? You know, and these guys were disciples. They had spent a year under training, and then they were called Christians. In fact, these were the first Christians in the church, right? I mean, obviously, you know, when you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, you're saved, okay? You know, but I don't think you're like Christ. A Christian meaning someone who's like Christ, right? You know, and you need to be discipled, right? You need to come under training. You need to come under some discipline. You need to come under someone's authority as a teacher. You know, this is how it works. And then, you know, I'm not saying that we're going to change our church system and, you know, unless you finish the discipleship classes, then we're going to call you Christians. That's not what I'm saying, okay? There's no handbook or, you know, we're not any of that kind of stuff. But it speaks to us in a way, right? You're not a Christian because you say you're a Christian. You're a Christian because you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. You're a student. You know, a disciple has a master. You know, a disciple does what the master says. Right, a disciple is discipline, the root word of that. Right, it's not just, well, I just decided to believe, or I just don't want to go to hell, and so I just raised my hand, you know, when the guy told me to. That's not a disciple, you know. And I wonder if we should change the wording, you know, in church, in terms of how we speak to one another in this way, right? You know, and I mean, this is important, right? The disciples, this is where the word Christians first came into being. It was here in Antioch, right? And Antioch is actually a real special church. We'll read about it later on. It's a real special church, you know. And this was the real prototype mission church, you know, a church, you know, that was, you know, birthed out of the mission field, you know, and that was, you know, consistent with that calling, you know, and going out and sending missionaries all over the place. And so it happens here in Antioch, and then a prophet, right, comes, and his name is Agabus, and then he gets a prophetic word that there's a famine. And so now we see, you know, the first main job or the first main assignment that's given to the church is to care for people, right, to care for the relief of the Christians all through Judea. You know, and it was, you know, this whole idea, right, we're disciples, we're Christians, we belong to Christ. Right, and so we take care of our own, you know. A real simple, you know, equation here, right? God's discipled us; He's ministered to us, and so if I have any means, I'm going to give it to the church, right? I'm going to give it to the people that are in need, and thus they send it off in that way. And so let's close our eyes for a moment. A couple of things to chew on this morning. The first thing that I talked about in the beginning is, are you being stymied in some way in your faith? Or are you having a problem in the sense that you're bringing too much of your own baggage into the faith? culturally. Maybe you're bringing too much of your baggage in terms of your education. Now, I'm not saying be dumb now, right? But there's a lot of stuff that we've learned, right, that are quite contrary to the gospel. Maybe as a Chinese person or an Indonesian person or a Korean person or, you know, whatever nationality, ethnicity you are, that you bring that with you. I know that I had to make a lot of adjustments when I came to Hong Kong because I brought my American Christianity with me. And sometimes, you know, it's very different from a British or a Scottish or, you know, even a Hong Kong. And so we just need to go back to what's biblical. And the other side too, to this devotional this morning, is really the whole issue about, are we Christians merely in word or more so in deed? And I like Francis of Assisi. He said, always preach the gospel. And when you absolutely have to, use words. And he was talking about living a life, you know, not just talking it. Assisi is a fascinating character. He's actually an aristocrat, incredibly wealthy. He gave it all up to live in poverty, basically. He took a vow of poverty. He says, how Jesus walked, I'm just going to walk like him. And he created a whole community of spirit-filled, faithful. Because it was about the deeds, not the words. And so if you're struggling with any of those things, as Yvain leads us in a song of worship, I just encourage you to go before the Lord.
Forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know is true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know is true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do.
Let's pray. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for our community of faith. And let's pray, firstly, that you know that we don't bring any of the baggage into our relation with God, and thus hinder others or even hinder ourselves. Let's also pray that we'd be a people in a community of deeds and words, that there'd be a consistency together. Let's pray. Let's lift up our community that is a. Let's pray for healing and ask God's hand to be with them. Let's continue to pray for Belinda as she recovers from her surgery. Let's lift up Charles Hahn's dad, Chris's aunt, Alex's dad, Janine, Jeff and Janella's grandmother. I pray for Peter and Doris Wagner, for Matthew's aunt, for my aunt, Kian's mom, Charles Kim's niece. Which there's actually very, very good reports. The little two-year-old, she's actually awake and her memory is back. And it's really a miracle what's happening. And so she's going to go through radiotherapy. And so just continue to pray for her. Let's pray for Misun's dad and for Connie's aunt. Also pray for one of my mentors, Alan Lunsford, who had a stroke. And so just lift up these people and ask God's healing word to come and just a real grace this time. Not only just to be able to manage their pain or whatnot, but to overcome. And let's just lift up to the Lord. Let's also lift up our church members that are looking for work and ask the Lord to continue to open those doors. Pray for Mark Starnes, and I know he's got I think he had a real big interview or he's going to have it soon. Let's just cover him. Pray for John Kang and Genevieve, who's got an interview coming up, and Katharina and Vivian. Let's ask the Lord to open the doors for them. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Kenny in Japan, in Nagoya. Let's ask God's hand to continue to be with him and grow him. Let's pray for Rachel in Thailand as she recovers from her surgery. She got into a bike accident last month, And so she's slowly recovering. Let's just continue to pray for her. Let's pray for North Korea. Let's pray for the underground church and pray for Chris and his family who are here in Hong Kong right now. Let's just continue to lift up the movement there and ask God to continue to move in this country or in these countries. Let's pray. Let's pray for our SP ministries. Let's pray for Pastor Carol and the teachers at Noah's Ark. Let's also pray for Pastor Nate and the staff at SP Youth. Let's pray that that we raise our kids well, that they would be well-trained, well-educated, healthy. Let's pray our kids and, you know, at the same time, let's pray for all the our moms that are pregnant right now. And let's ask that our future kids, that they would be well in the womb and they would come very quickly and very healthfully into our world. So let's just lift up. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight. Let's lift the Bonham Road, Kennedy, and PP Happy Valley. Let's pray for God's hand to be with the leaders and the evening and as we just continue to celebrate God's goodness and His faithfulness. Let's just pray for a real wonderful season of Thanksgiving in each of our house churches. Father, we thank you. God, we bless you today. God, we understand, God, that the need that we have, Lord, to be discipled, God, to not just use that word Christian so flippantly, God, and it's been so abused in our culture. Lord, help us to be true Christians, God. Lord, living for you, God, dying, God, for you. And so we pray that you strengthen us and lead us, God, and help us not to bring anything in, God, that's unbiblical, Father God, into our faith, Lord. And just guide us, give us wisdom, Lord, in all the things that we do. Lord, continue to watch over us, Father. We just pray for your hand, God, even as we continue to pray. Lord, we just pray that you just open up a portal in heaven, God, that you'd receive our words, Lord, and something would be activated, God. A transaction would take place. We thank you, Lord. Watch over us the rest of this day. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.